couple of months ago, I was preparing for a live radio show that I did in Australia, and I asked subscribers to submit to me questions for me to practice being on the radio. And what was unique about it was that I asked people to record voice messages and email them to me so that I could create podcasts out of them by playing you the question and then answering it.
Hi, Belle. My screen name is Trixie K. And my question for you is, how do you let go of the feelings that I'm sure you get when people who you are trying to help relapse and go back to a day one? And I'm asking because I have people in my life now who want my help and my advice because they see the changes that I've made. And when they don't succeed and fall back into their old patterns, I get really emotional because I just want to scream and shake them and say, you can do it. You can. I did it. Look at me. You can. Try harder. And I'm just wondering how you deal with those emotions.
So you can hear in her voice how difficult this is. And I think it's a relevant question for everyone listening, whether you have someone in your family who has an addiction issue or not, or to give you a perspective on what it's like for somebody else dealing with you. And the problem for Trixie K and for lots and lots of people is that we believe that overdrinking is logical. And therefore, we believe that the solution is logical. When in fact, addiction and this part of our brain that yells at us that drinking is a good idea isn't logical, and it isn't rational, and it doesn't make sense. And because really, nobody needs to drink, and we wouldn't drink. Like, if you drank one time and threw up, you'd never drink again. That would just be dumb. So that we continue to think that drinking is a good idea means that there's some kind of distorted thinking going on. You know, like our brain says, this time it'll be different, or that was just because I mixed drinks, or because I didn't eat, or all those things that Wolfie tells us, right? Wolfie always says, this time it'll be different. So the challenge then is that if you approach this with somebody else in your family, let's say you've got a sister who's an overdrinker, or a father, or you're wondering how people have been dealing with you, they will come at you with logic. They'll say, but come on now. Come on now, Naomi. You know this isn't for you. And you're like, yeah, yeah, I know, I know, I know. And Trixie K may be like this with her friend who asked for advice. I mean, I think if somebody asks for advice, you answer the question that they're asking, and then you stop talking and you wait and see what happens. And sometimes they're just fishing, but they're not really ready. And then if she comes back and asks another question, you can suggest some supports and some tools. But I think the question has more to do with the emotions of it. And there is a difference between what your experience is and what it's like for other people to watch you having your experience. Because for us, the voice in our head is really loud. It's non-logical. We try things that don't work. We try other things that work better. We put together a sober toolkit of things that help support us to be sober. And that may be illogical to the next person. Because right this minute, if there's 68 people listening to this call live right now, that means that there are 68 different sober toolkits put together to help you be sober. And if you're not yet sober, then you would need to put together your sober toolkit, and it would still look different from everybody else's. Which is one of the reasons why I do lots of things on my site, small things and large things, little audios, longer audios, like the 1 minute messages are the short ones, because sometimes people say, oh, I just need a, you know, to dip in and hear a minute. And then I do the long ones like this, because sometimes people say, oh, I really want to hear a longer on the same subject. People are different. I then do writing. I do some short writing and some long writing. I have physical things like jewelry, and I have a class like with accountability and a pen pal and calls. Somewhere in there, you could put together a sober toolkit that suited you. And not just with my stuff, right? Like the world is full of things that could be your sober tools. Like you may add in a therapist or a counselor or some kind of sober coach. And you might add in medication. And you might add in meetings. And you might add in seeing a psychiatrist. And you might add in rehab. And you might add in some program through your hospital. And everybody's going to do it differently. And so the challenge and the frustration, I think, in offering advice is that all we can do, all I can do for you, all you could do for somebody else, and all people can do for us is to offer suggestions, be supportive, be empathetic, offer to drive, offer to take, offer to go with. Sometimes it's just embarrassment that prevents people from doing stuff. Offer to go with your friend.